Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, and I know that many of you have been following with great interest the recent presidential election in Argentina with the landslide win for the man many are calling the Argentinian Trump, Javier Milei. He won by double digits over their finance minister, who oversaw, if you can believe it, an economy ravaged by 140% inflation. Milei is promising a new economic beginning for Argentina, replacing the peso with the dollar as a way to stabilize their currency, slashing government spending, and even abolishing their central bank, which he said is non-negotiable. All as we unfortunately languish under the guise of Bidenomics here in the States. Joining me to talk about the latest is a fellow Argentinian born and raised in Buenos Aires, tech expert and entrepreneur, Brian Golod. Brian, a warm welcome to you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Appreciate it.
You have to unravel a mystery for me. I say Argentinian only because I can't resolve. Is it Argentine or is it Argentine? Give me the expert view here.
I used to say Argentine because some people, the first people that I listened to, they used to call us Argentines, and then I went to Argentinians. I think that most people call us Argentinians.
Argentinians. All right. So no Argentine. That's...
No, definitely no. It rhymes with porcus pine. I love it. Spanish. And it's not that. Argentinian or Argentine.
Or Argentine.
But not Argentine.
I always loved Argentine better. Good. Now. Bravo, as a fellow Argentine, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, this is a huge development in presidential politics in Argentina. It's being covered all over the world. As I understand it, the presidency is very powerful in Argentine politics, and it seems as if the people there have just had enough and they're willing to go bold here. What do you think?
People have had enough for a very long time, to be completely honest, and they wanted to change the government, and they tried this a few years ago or maybe a mandate ago. Things didn't go very well. But honestly, Argentina was heading towards potentially Venezuela. Like, everybody compared Argentina to Venezuela. And it's unfortunate because Argentina has a lot of resources. It has a lot of talented people. Not saying that Venezuela doesn't, but Argentina is still a place that you can still save. And this guy, Javier Milei, in 2 years, he was able to turn things around completely in terms of gaining that confidence from the people, the people that he wants to give the power back to. And it's unbelievable what he's been able to give. Hope alone is massive.
Yeah.
Massive to be able to say, I am here for you and truly mean it. And you can, if you truly listen to his words, you're like, wow, this guy truly cares to get this country back on its feet. And for me, it was like I was watching from the sidelines, from here, from North America, looking at it and wishing that please, please do not let anyone take over these votes, to steal the votes, to steal the election. You know, this is something that we've heard about.
Well, we were so worried about it with the runoff prior to this one. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I truly believe in the future. I truly believe that there is an opportunity. But just like Javier Milei has said, it will require a lot of effort. This is not like overnight. This is not like, oh, all of a sudden I take office and things are going to change. No, we all need to work together to make this happen. Unfortunately, there is a big divide between those who voted for him and those who didn't. But I truly believe that he's going to represent absolutely everyone.
Right. What, you know, we were talking a little bit before the interview. I'm just curious, you know, as I understand the Argentinian economy, it's a mystery for economists. You mentioned, you know, the abundant natural resources. Its population is relatively well college educated. I think it's over 20%, which is higher than Brazil's. It's a fairly large population. I think it's the fourth largest nation in Latin America, from 46 million. And yet it economically struggles, you know, both in the center right, center left, they haven't been able to turn it around. So that's hence why someone so unique as Milei. Do you have any insights behind this economic mystery, this struggle for Argentina?
100%. So I have the benefit of I was born and raised in Argentina. I lived there for almost 20 years, and I've been here in North America for almost 20 years as well. In December now, this month is going to be 20 years. And it puzzles me, like, how do people actually manage to survive? Mm. They're not living, they're surviving. Mm. But how do they manage to survive? With these crazy inflation rates, 140% is actually on average. So you have some areas that are significantly higher. For example, your food basket. Food basket is actually 400% inflation year over year, which is crazy, right? What about gas to be able to bring into your vehicles, to be able to drive, right? And look, there's oil. They produce oil and there's no gas. You cannot actually afford gas. So when I look at it from here, just like you do, I'm like, is this a mystery? Is this science fiction? The things that happen in Argentina, you're like, no, this cannot be happening. This is a joke. This is an April Fool's joke. But I tell you, somehow people do survive and people do go on vacation and people do treat themselves. And you're like, I just don't understand. They pay and they pay in installments and they pay in pesos today. You talked about the dollar, so we can go into that in a moment. But they pay in pesos today in 12 installments, 24 installments, 36 installments. And I don't get it because the inflation will make sure that those businesses that are giving so many installments or the banks, they will not be getting their actual value because over time, that thing that you are paying for will decrease. The value will decrease.
Right.
Right. The money that you're actually paying towards paying for that service or that product. So I'm like, how does that country work? It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Right. They're printing a lot of money. The central bank, like you were saying, prints a lot of money. And that generates a lot of inflation. So that's why Javier Milei is saying no more central bank because it's been printing money like crazy. And we did have one-to-one parity. In the 90s, we had one peso, $1. Mm. But then it skyrocketed. It went in 2001. There was a big economic crisis and social crisis. And then it got out of hand. And for many years, it was controlled. But over the last year, it went to 1,000 pesos for $1. If you wanted to buy... Oh my God, it's insane. It's honestly, it's insane what they are doing with that country.
Wow. Yeah, and I think just by going and adopting the dollar in a sense, he's just going to that sort of default currency and just removing the middleman. What do you think of these reforms? I mean, he's talking about, these are bold. We're talking ending the nation's central bank, replacing the overinflated currency with the USD. Do you see economic recovery as possible?
I see economic recovery. They will, in my opinion, it will be much better in the near future than it's ever been in the last at least 70 years. Let's remember that Argentina was one of the top countries in the world. Okay? It was better than Germany. It was better than France. It was very similar in terms of each person's, the average GDP per person. Yeah. But that was in the 1920s or 1910s, okay? It's been a very long time. Now, can it actually recover? Yes, but as I was mentioning before, it will take time. It's not going to happen overnight. So they need to actually allow him to make certain big decisions that are going to impact this, that are going to influence the ultimate outcome of the country. Now, with regards to the central bank, like I was saying, and with regards to politics, there are so many ministries out there, so many people working in the government just sucking the money, the blood out of the country, right? That don't do absolutely anything. Oh, I am a friend of so-and-so, and so I'm going to get a ministry, right? I'm the husband of, the spouse of, the wife of, I'm going to get something from the government. Just basically blood sucking out of the government, out of the country. So it's impossible to run a country that way. So that's why he's coming and he's saying, I don't need you.
Yeah.
I don't need you. Yeah. I don't need you. Yeah. I don't need you.
Have you seen that video of him where he put up, right?
Amazing.
Oh, it's
like,
so great.
Leaving like four people to run the entire country. And he believes that honestly, that the government is there to be an obstacle.
Right.
The government doesn't actually solve much, to be completely honest.
Right.
It just makes things so ineffective and so inefficient.
Right.
Yeah.
It is. It's stunning. I mean, it's just so amazing. He's been able to break through that stagnation mm-hmm. that created mm-hmm. this over the last four or five decades. And it's wonderful. And again, it's something we're seeing around the world in many ways. Just we call them bootleggers. When the political establishment no longer gives the people what they're demanding for, they're going to look elsewhere. Like just like when they make alcohol illegal and the people want to drink, they're going to go find bootleggers who are going to sell them the alcohol. And Javier Milei is one of Trump in many ways was the same thing. We're seeing it all throughout Georgia Maloney and Europe and so forth. I'm curious just to... Your notion of his interest in crypto, he seems to be taking some inspiration from Nayib Bukele, of the president of El Salvador, who introduce Bitcoin investments into their national budget. And I understand crypto is relatively popular in Argentina. I think I came across a stat of about 5 million regular users of crypto. So do you see cryptocurrency playing a role in Argentina's recovery?
Potentially to preserve the value of whatever it is that they end up earning, whatever professionals end up earning, because what is it that people do typically? We need to understand the culture and how it is that people behave on a day-to-day or month-to-month basis. When professionals go to work and they get their paychecks on a month-to-month basis, what do they do with it? Besides paying their overinflated products and services and rent and mortgage and whatnot, what do? They actually buy US dollars. Mm-hmm. So if they can actually get more confidence,
right,
or they will trust that crypto is actually going to be safer to save right. their money in for the right. future, then they can potentially end up switching over. But as we know, cryptocurrency has become more of a mainstream, but has not been as easy to actually use to pay for products or services. It has not been that adopted worldwide.
Right.
So we're not there yet. For Argentinian people, the one thing that I do understand is they have a lot of problems to deal with, from economy, from safety, right? There are a lot of there's this big crisis. There are a lot of changes. So adding one more variable could potentially help. But honestly, if you understand Argentinians, what do? They purchase American dollars. That's what they truly value, and that's why Javier Milei says nobody wants the peso. Let's right. get rid of this peso. We've been inflating this economy constantly, just giving pesos, but nobody wants them. What people actually want and what they trust is the American dollar. That's what's stable.
Right. Fascinating. It's so interesting. This is amazing stuff. And again, it's so exciting. You know, for those who follow this channel, they know what's happening in Argentina is not an isolated phenomenon. The world is going in many ways through a major recalibration away from globalism and more around nationalist and populist sentiments. And one of the things that makes you so interesting is that you help people find jobs and coach them on how to have amazing interviews. Because if they don't have a good interview, forget, like as you say, I've seen some of your own social media interviews, and you pointed out it doesn't matter what resume you have or CV you have. If you have a bad interview, you bomb that interview, you ain't going anywhere. That is a gateway. I think that's so true. So obviously, you know, with the past COVID policies or even the prevalence of wokeness in the corporate world, have you noticed any new trends among job searches these days? We get a lot of people on this channel who are looking to make maybe a lateral move. They're not too comfortable in a woke environment. They want to find something that where they share the values a bit more. Have you noticed any trends like that going on?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. So what happens with people right now is that people value their time, their personal time, significantly more than anything else. You can make all the money in the world. You can make a lot of money. You can be really comfortable, financially speaking. But a lot of people are starting to value a lot more their personal time with their loved ones, with themselves, yes. their health, than the money that they were making before. They're willing to sacrifice some of that money, which they don't need to be completely honest. Right. You can switch jobs, and I always show professionals how to make that happen. But basically, you can actually get a job that doesn't require you to spend more than 40 hours per week, maybe 37 and a half hours per week, and make the exact same amount of money. And for you to find that control, to gain that control back again. At this moment, we have been working over the last few decades, just obeying, just doing exactly what our employers want. In the beginning, for the first few months, it's like a honeymoon period. We're working, you know, hey, please do not stay late. But how quickly that turns into, oh, we have this other project, or so-and-so quit, or got fired, or got promoted, or whatever reason is, by the way, needed to do their job as well, right? And now you're actually breaking, overstepping into my personal time where I have to come in early, I have to leave late because I have to still do everything because I'm concerned, I'm scared, I'm fearful of missing or losing my job, my income. A lot of professionals are like, I'm done with this. I just want to get my time back to be able to define how I want to live my life. So now a lot of, and I love this. I personally love this, and I love because I stand behind this. People are starting to realize, I want to find a connection with myself, with my values, with what I stand for, with what I want to do, with what brings me happiness and fulfillment and joy and excitement. What do I want to wake up and jump out of bed every single day to do? they want to keep on doing this and the rat race and climbing up the corporate ladder. I tell you, a lot of professionals have realized that the race is not how quickly you can climb up the corporate ladder, but how quickly you can climb out of the corporate ladder.
Yeah, I love it.
So for those who don't have a good job at this moment and they have a lot of, you know, they don't have necessarily work-life balance, the first job or the first step is get a job or get a career opportunity that gives you that work-life balance. But what do you do after? How do you actually gain those 2,000 hours that you are giving to your employer, gain them back so that you can actually basically step out of corporate to just live your life the way that you want to live it? There are ways to be able to make that happen, but you need to work towards it. It doesn't happen overnight, but you can certainly do that as long as you're making progress towards that objective. If you really want to gain control back, you can totally do that.
You know, Brian, one of the reasons why I love chatting with you is you are the embodiment of the American dream. And a lot of people now are more worried than ever that the dream is no longer achievable. They can't achieve that financial independence, and then which then gives them the ability to pursue the values that they love and hold dear, particularly faith, family, freedom. You stand up every day and you say, no, this dream is alive and well. I'm living proof of it. Tell us a bit about how, you know, what you do to help Americans overcome their fears, their anxieties, particularly in Bidenomics, the slump that we're in, and actually achieve the American dream here and now.
I appreciate the question that you're asking and the way that you articulated it, because you got under my skin. Why? Because even though it's been 20 years since I've been living here in North America, what I want everybody to understand is that I came literally with $0. Mm-hmm. I used to remember these stories of my great grandparents coming from Europe, coming down to South America with $0 and just a suitcase or not even a suitcase and making an amazing life over there. And for me, I literally came the same way. Sure, I did come with my parents and with my sister, okay? But literally in my pocket, I came with $0. Mm-hmm. And I was able to make the most out of this amazing opportunity, which is to live in North America. The American dream is not dead. The question is, what are you doing towards making it happen? So the question is, do you believe that there are no opportunities in the market? I will tell you the answer. The answer is the market is flooded with opportunities.
Yes.
You go on LinkedIn, you go on Indeed, you go on Glassdoor, you go on any platform, any job platform. There are so many opportunities, and not just anything. Opportunities for professionals who want to make a lot of money, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000. You see them actually posted. If you know where to find, you will actually find them. So can you live better? Yes. But what I want everybody to understand is that it's not about money alone. You will grow tired from that. Do not. And
right.
One of the biggest messages that I always have for people is, please do not just chase money. That gets old. That doesn't bring you happiness. Yeah, sure. There is a saying, money buys happiness only for a certain period of time.
Right.
It doesn't last. So if you have a family, if you have kids, if you have a life that you've built, invest towards that. Give them your time, your quality. Make sure that you build that. At the end of the day, you're not taking anything with you.
Right.
Do live well. Do live well. Don't get me wrong. Everybody should be able to live comfortably. But make sure that you have your time back to give to your loved ones, to have experiences, to see the world, to see America. Beautiful. I've been to so many states. It's unbelievable how good that country is. It has opportunities for everyone. Everyone who truly wants to find them. If you're not finding them, you need guidance, please, let's get in touch. But otherwise, let's go get that opportunity. You deserve it. It literally, everyone wants to live in America. You live in America. Let's make sure that you actually have your opportunity that you truly deserve. You have the knowledge, skills, experience, expertise, education. You have what you need. Now let's go get that job.
We've got a link down below, gang, to a website, Brian's website, americadreamsalary.com. Just click on that. Brian, if they click on that, what can they expect to find there?
I will be on a web class where I will explain exactly how it is that you need to conduct yourself differently to be able to find those opportunities, to be able to seize on those opportunities. What is it that you need to do? What is it that employers are actually looking for you to be able to maximize your chances? Because one of the things that a lot of professionals say to me all the time is, getting a job is a full-time job, right? And for those professionals who are actually employed right now and they're overworked and underpaid, it's like, oh my God, I don't have time. I get home, I'm so I'm so busy throughout the day. I'm so tired by the end of the night. I just don't have time. I don't have any energy. I'm exhausted and my family needs me. And the little bit of time that I have left, I give it to them or I give it to myself and I'm done. So getting a job does not need to be this difficult. Now, maybe nobody has explained to you before how to actually go about this, but it doesn't take that much time. It's not rocket science to be able to land a ton of interviews and to be able to convert them into job offers and to be able to, in the end, negotiate a fair compensation for the value that you bring. But what I want everybody to understand is the following. If you've been focusing on just one job at a time, that's not going to help you. That doesn't give you any power. Mm-hmm. Why? The one thing that I want everybody to understand is that at any given point, your job, wherever it is that you work, it will turn into what I was describing before, which is, oh, now, can you do the work this person calling sick? Mm-hmm. Can you actually work cover for this person while they're going on vacation? Can you do this? She quit or she was let go or she got promoted or he, right? Now they're starting to break into or overstep into your personal boundaries, your personal time. So when you don't have any other options on a whim, like when you decide that you want to have new options, then your employer can always take advantage of you. And why will they take advantage of you? Because of what I was explaining before. Because you're so tired, exhausted, that you're not going to be looking for another opportunity. You're like, okay, I'm going to do it. Yeah, no problem. I think that that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put in more hours to work my way up the corporate ladder. And in the end, you're not solving your problem. Your problem is you want to actually have quality time with your family, with yourselves, with your loved ones. And you want to feel the impact of what you're doing with the world, the alignment of what you do and your values with the world. So if that's what you're looking for, then get that control back and do not let any employer take advantage of you.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Gang, you got to click on that link below if you're looking for a new career and if you're looking for a career specifically to be able to spend more time with family and pursuing your values, faith, and freedom. Click on the link below. Brian is your mentor. He's amazing. Again, he doesn't preach to us. He lives it. He is a living embodiment of precisely what he provides. So, Brian Golod, thank you so much for the, this is wonderful. I know you've been in America now for the last 20 years, but it is so exciting to see what's happening in your homeland there in Argentina. We're going to be keeping a very close eye on it, rooting for Javier Milei and maybe you'll be able to, the next time you go back there, you're going to be able to see a whole different country, a much more wonderfully optimistic and hopeful place.
Thank you so much. And for everyone here watching, please, you live in America, you have the most amazing country in the world. Just go and make the most out of this. Okay. Do not let anyone convince you that you can't. You totally can. So I'm rooting for you. Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Brian.